Good morning. Good morning. Glad you're here with us this morning and decided to worship with us this morning. I'm Rice family. Man, it is good to see you guys. James, mostly Jennifer, but you too. It's okay. Glad that you are here. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I would love for you to register your attendance and let us know that you were here. And there's a place on there you can, if you'd like for us to have your email address, and you can check the box there and be added to our email list. You can just leave those in the seat there when you leave today. You know, you guys are an awesome church. I love you guys and on so many levels. I'm just so proud to be associated with you guys. So glad that you are here with us this morning. Now, Billy mocked me last week with what I'm fixing to say. I had no idea that this sentence had made such an impact on so many of you. But if you will turn with me, what do I say? I don't even know what I say now. Turn with me if you will. I'm going to have to change up my routine a little bit, man. This is embarrassing. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 3. Billy, I've known Billy for 25 years, and that's all he's ever learned from me is that one sentence. Turn with me, if you will. Now, this is in the book of James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 3. And just hear these words from the Lord. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is set in itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you to speak now in truth and power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. About 5 years ago, and y'all, most of y'all know this if you've been around for a while, about 5 years ago, my youngest daughter, I do a daddy date with my girls. I've been doing that with them on their birthday since they were about two or so. And when my youngest daughter was turning 21, she said, "Dad, I want to go skydiving for my daddy date." And this was about nine months before her birthday. And I was like a dork. I said, "Sure, no problem." Well, as it started getting closer, I started, "What in the world have I gotten myself into?" Anyway, long story short, I find myself in an airplane at 10,000 feet. And go ahead and show that first picture there, Lee. Now, I want to say at this point, it was getting pretty late, but at this point, I could still get out of it. The deed had not been done. Now, I just was looking at that as I put that on the slide this time. Is that a halo on my forehead? See that? I had never noticed that. You know, the Lord had revealed himself there. I think that's a halo. Maybe it's a flash. Don't say it. Somebody's going to just glare off the forehead. I know, but I go with halo. But at this point, there was still hope. I still had it within my power to back out until this happened. Not so much at that point. You know, you ever seen the deal where you can squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube, but you can't get it back in there? Once it's out, it's out. At that point, it was out. Friends in Christ, that's the way it is with words. That's the way it is with words. You know, we have control over the words at a certain point, but once they're out, they're out. So I'm starting a new sermon series today called More Power. More Power. This week's message is the power of the spoken word. The power of the spoken words. Now, this passage in James that we're talking about today, he speaks of the power that we have in the spoken word as like a bit in the mouth of a horse. He also equates it to the rudder on a ship and also a small spark that starts a forest fire. It's always amazing to me, you know, seems like California has been, these last few years, has been having horrible problems with wildfires and just burning up acres and acres and acres of land. And, you know, it's always amazing to me when they come to the end of the fire and they finally get it under control. Many times it was somebody driving down the highway that just flicked out a cigarette or an ember that was still hot in a campfire, or sometimes it's arson just from a small little match. But the power of the spoken word. So I want us to talk about four different things today about that power. First thing is, with words, God himself displays power. His power. And I just scratching the surface here, if you go and look at the power that God has through the spoken word. If you look at the first chapter of Genesis with creation, you know, that in the beginning there was God. And it says that, and God said, let there be. And so from those words, the spoken word of God, for the whole universe came into existence. I mean, he separated the land from the water, and he threw the stars in the sky, and he made the sun and the moon, and he made all the animals and all the creatures of the sea, and finally he created us. And it's through the spoken word, God said, let there be. God declares an everlasting covenant with us. God said, you will be my people and I will be your God. God spoke that covenant upon his people. You and I are the inheritors of that covenant. When Jesus comes along, Jesus healed with words. He healed with words. The leper in Luke chapter 5, Jesus says, be clean. And the leper was clean. He speaks healing onto this leper. John chapter 8, Jesus showed mercy with words. He finds the woman caught in adultery, and he says to her, the famous passage where he says, you without sin cast the first stone, and one by one they drop their stones and the crowd disperses. And Jesus says, where are all your accusers? She says, they're all gone. And he says, well, neither do I condemn you. He spoke mercy into her life. Can you imagine how that transformed this woman? And I'm just on a personal level. You know, so many times we think that we have to argue someone into the kingdom. You know, we have to convince them. God's word says that it is his kindness that leads people to repentance. His mercy. For me, when God became real in my own life, it was when I knew that I was deserving of his wrath and I received his mercy. Anybody in that club with me? It was the mercy of God. God's showing mercy. He speaks those words to the woman. John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead with words. It says, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And this man who had been in the grave for 4 days comes walking out to the astonishment of the whole crowd. Jesus, his final words on the cross, words of completion, words of reconciliation with the Father. He says, as he's hanging on the cross, he says, "It is finished." Powerful, powerful word. God displays his power with words. Now, so shifting it from God, he's speaking to us that God has power with words, and our words have power. So number two, with words, our heart is revealed. You know, Matthew 12 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, you ever seen anybody, you ever been around somebody that professes to be a Christian, they profess Christ, and yet everything that comes out of their mouth is vile? Now, I'm just kind of getting real with you today. You ever read, anybody read Facebook? I mean, I want to ask you, and you know, this is just kind of real world stuff here. What are we revealing about our heart on Facebook? How we speak to other people, how we speak about things going on in our culture. Man, Facebook, boy, what a double-edged sword that thing is. You know, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm just going to share it anyway. I've signed the. Some of you may be mad at me over there. I don't know, but so I've signed the Target pledge. I'm boycotting Target, and it's not. It's not a mean-spirited thing for me. I want that corporation to hear that there's someone else that has opinions about the bathroom situation. And I haven't been ugly about it, but the other day I got an email, and it was encouraging you to sign the petition and just post on Target's Facebook page that you've done so. So I did that, and the post was not ugly or vicious or anything. It was just like, hey, me and my family were boycotting Target because of such and such, and we hope that you will hear our voice. I mean, it was a nice thing. Whoa! Within 15 minutes, the vile stuff that was coming at me, it was awful. And I'm a moron when it comes to, I'm a moron about a lot of things, but I'm certainly a moron about Facebook. I don't know if I'm posting something. I don't know if the whole world's seeing it or just that one person. I don't know. So I just kind of threw it out there, you know. I mean, this vicious, vile stuff was coming at me like I just killed, you know, 50 people or whatever. I mean, it's just awful. And I was like, woo, 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 woo. I was like, how do you delete this thing? Let me out. I didn't sign up for this. You know, I just trying to, it's like, hey, man, I bought a clock radio last week. I don't want to buy it at Target. I'll buy it somewhere else. You know, it's just, I just was trying to make a kind statement. Our heart is revealed, man. It's like, you know, how do we speak to one another? How do we speak about the issues of our day that are, I mean, we are in a polarized nation. Has anybody seen that but me? We are polarized. And, man, it's like you can't have an opinion without people being vicious about stuff. With our words, we reveal our heart, church. Even things that, you know, even things I was actually convicted. I don't speak. I hope that I don't. The Lord is my judge. I hope I don't speak in an unkind way towards people that disagree with me, especially people with the sexuality issue that's going on in the day. But a pastor friend of mine I was having lunch with this past week, he said, you know, he was in a meeting and they were discussing this meeting, a church meeting. They were discussing some of these things, and they were in pretty much in unison about what they thought, the opinions they had and all. But after a while, one of the ladies started crying, and she said, "You know, look, I agree with most of what's being said here, but why are we saying it with such venom? Why are we saying it with such unkindness?" Man, our hearts are revealed with our words, church. Never more has in our culture has our culture and our world needed with strong conviction, but yet kindness to one another, even when we don't agree. Third thing, with words, our salvation is declared. Now, Romans 10, most of us know this passage. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So that's why I tell you, in fact, Christopher, where's Christopher at? Christopher, we're baptizing Mr. Christopher at the end of the service today, and it's one of the things that I told Christopher. It's like, when I ask you these questions, say them. Say the answer. Don't give her that, you know, because it says that we need to confess with our mouth, and there's power in the spoken word. But I want you to know that, and Dev, you remember this, a few years ago I baptized one of Dev's patients that was on her deathbed with hospice, and she had become unconscious. But prior to becoming unconscious, she had professed her faith in Christ. She had requested to be baptized. And I baptized her as she was in her last hours on this earth, unable to speak. Man, some may disagree with me on that. Some pastors may disagree with me of the theology of that. But I'll take my chances with the Lord on that one. I'll take my chance. She was not able to confess with her mouth. But I just don't believe that God is this God that has a checklist and this God of technicalities. And he says, no, you didn't do it right. No, he's interested in our hearts. He wants our hearts. But he also says, if we're able to declare it, to declare our salvation with our words. I remember a few years ago I was at a Promise Keepers event. And this was probably, say, a few years ago. It was probably 20 years ago. And it made a dramatic impact with me. We're at Texas Stadium, the old Texas Stadium. Tom Landry, by the way, spoke to us that day, and that was really cool. But anyway, you got Jesus and Tom Landry. Yeah, right? He's below Jesus, but he's there. He's close. Now, we were at Texas Stadium. There were 60,000 men praising God, and we're all singing at the top of our lungs. And I mean, if there hadn't been a hole in the roof, we would have lifted the roof. But we were singing praises to God, and it was awesome. I looked down on the floor, and there was this big, huge section that said hearing impaired, and I'd been watching them all weekend. And they had someone at the front of that group, and it had been signing the speakers and everything to them. And I looked down there, and these men that could not speak were on their chairs signing praises to God. Their hearts were overflowing to the Father. They didn't have the ability to speak the spoken word, but their hearts were crying out to their Father. Salvation is declared through words. Fourth thing, our praise. With words, our praise is proclaimed. Our praise is proclaimed. You know, I was looking, if you just look in the book of Psalms, nowhere else in the Bible, just in the book of Psalms, 209 times there is praise to God in the book of Psalms alone. It is a book of praise. I would think if God dedicated an entire book of praise, I would think it's fairly important, wouldn't you? That we be a people of praise. Psalms 34 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. Not sometimes, not when everything, circumstances are right. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. As if you got our emails this week, we've had two losses in our church. Billy mentioned Robert Burks passed away. Robert I had the honor of baptizing Robert at 80 years old. What a joyful day that was. And that was 3 years ago. Robert has struggled, had lost a leg due to circulation issues about 2 weeks ago, and just too much for him to take. And he passed away this week. And yet, when Angie, his wife, spoke to Angie this week, she was still praising God. In the midst of just losing her husband, she was praising God. And then Martha White, another wonderful lady of our church that joined our church a year or so ago, lost her 51-year-old son very suddenly, unexpectedly, this week. And same deal with Martha. As I spoke with Martha, she was just singing God's praises, placing her hope in Jesus. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Hebrews 13 says it this way: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Yeah, say, I've done this before, but I want you to say the name Jesus with me. You ready? Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. That name should penetrate our hearts. As the old wonderful hymn says, there's something about that name. We're, you know, Jesus is, He's just a good God. And He loves us no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. He has, you know, we don't have to wonder with what the future holds. If things go well, God loves us. And if things don't go so well, maybe we're not favored by God. No, it's settled. He hung on a cross because He loves us. And before He hung on a cross, He said, hey, by the way, this is the revised Jeff version, what Jesus said. By the way, you're going to have trouble in this world. I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up here. This world is tough, but I've overcome the world. It is finished. His love for us has been revealed for all eternity, no matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in our life. No matter if moms are battling cancer. No matter if the marriage is not going the way you thought it would. No matter if our finances are a struggle. No matter if something tragic happens, no matter if our children are not speaking to us, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Words have power. So how are we doing, church? How are we doing with our words? I want you to think about that. Think about the issues that face our nation. I tell you, this sermon's, I don't know if it's for you, but it's for me. Because I get discouraged sometimes. I'm just being real with you. The old dilemma I have is, like Billy mentioned it when he was preaching last week, that, you know, do we stay informed, which could lead to just utter depression, or do we stick our head in the sand and maybe have a little peace today? I mean, it's a battle. It's a battle. And the answer is Jesus. Amen. The answer isn't going, la 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 la. Y'all didn't know I could sing that good, did you? That's not the answer. The answer is trust. Trust Jesus. Even when, I mean, He's the calm at the center of the storm. Out here, it's maybe doing all of this stuff. Jesus is the calm. He's the center. He's the peace that passes understanding. The God of all comfort. The Prince of Peace. Is there somebody in your life that needs words of encouragement? Power of the spoken word Is there somebody in your life that needs words of encouragement? Is God being glorified in your speech? Bow your heads with me if you would. Ask Jesus to take control of your heart, to take control of your words. Just ask him in your own heart right now. Father, we thank you for the power of the spoken word. We thank you that with words you created us. You've demonstrated your love for us. And Jesus, you completed your very mission on our behalf with the words, "It is finished." And because of that, we will exalt your name at all times. Your praise will always be on our lips. And may your words become our words. Your heart become our heart. Father, your word here in James tells us that we have the power to curse and we have the power to bless with our words. May we be a people of blessing. May people be drawn to us so that we can direct them to you. Father, also teach us when to be silent. We love you, we trust you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will come. As I said, in just a few moments, I'll be baptizing Mr. Christopher. I hope you will stay for that. You know, it says in God's Word that the angels rejoice when someone comes to the Father in repentance. Well, that's fixing to happen. So if I'm kind of like, if the even though you guys don't have a halo and I have a halo, even though that, I'm thinking if the angels are rejoicing, God's people should be rejoicing. Yes? So let's stand as we close.
You stood before creation. Eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to say, you stood before my failures. Carried the cross for my shame. What could I do?
Okay, family, if you guys want to come up, you'll stand right there. All right. The whole east wing is now empty over there. If y'all leave us a little path here so y'all can get this, just stand on both sides so they can still have it on the video. Awesome, awesome. You got a lot of people that love you, man. What's up with that? Christopher, we talked. One of the things that's really cool, that besides this being the fruit of a good family that loves Jesus, this is also the fruit of our children's ministry. This last week during Vacation Bible School, the Lord began to prompt Christopher's heart that he wanted to be baptized. And so we're excited about that, Christopher. We're very excited. So we talked about these questions. You understand what this word sin means, that we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. And so I just ask you, do you want to tell Jesus that you're sorry for your sin?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to receive his forgiveness and receive him as your Lord and your Savior into your heart?
Yes.
Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith?
Yes.
Amen. You'll stand right there in that lower section, then sit down. Hold your nose. All right. Christopher, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay sitting right there. Awesome. All right, get up in here and we're going to pray. You can put a hand, if you can get a hand to him, or if not, reach somebody in front of you. One of the things that we talked about is how when we ask Jesus to live inside our heart, that's exactly what he will do. He will send his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. So I'm going to invite that to happen. Okay, Christopher? All right, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you love Christopher. I thank you that you died for him. I thank you that you have prepared a place for him with you for all eternity. I pray, God, that right now that you would pour your Holy Spirit into him. You'd fill him from the top of his head to the tip of his toes, God, that he would ooze the Holy Spirit out of everything he is, God, that he would become the man you have created him to be, God, that would bring glory to you with every single word, every single action, every single thought would glorify you. Bless this family, God. We thank you for Jesus in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Go use your words. Tell somebody Jesus loves them. We are dismissed. God bless you.
So I'll stand with arms high.